Enjoyed every minute of being in Michigan, being here in Jackson. Thank you so much for taking care of my family, and we just had the time of our lives, and we really appreciate it. We've really been encouraged by your spirit, by just the great things that God is doing here at this church, and it's been such a blessing and such an honor to be here, and we're having so much fun. There's something special happening at this place. Amen. And I hope you see that, and I hope that you're part of it, and if you aren't part of it, become part of it. Amen. And there's something special here. There's a great spirit, and the Lord is working, and I can't wait to see what the Lord will continue to do. I had something I meant to say last night, and I didn't, but Brother Hendershot, which I'm not sure if he's here tonight, but he asked me to say this. He said, I need to apologize to all the Patriots fans for my comment on Sunday. He said, because if I don't apologize, my love offering might be deflated. So, hey. Anyway, we'll keep going. Thank you so much. You don't have to give us a love offering. You church have gone above and beyond in providing for my family, and I really do mean that. We're so grateful. It's just a privilege just to be here, and we really do appreciate you. You've been more than a blessing to us than we could ever be to you. And tonight, if you would please turn to Acts chapter 20. We'll be turning to several places in Scripture, so I hope that's okay with you. I hope you got your Bibles ready, your sword drill speed ready. We're just going to move tonight, so I'm going to talk fast and move fast, so listen fast, and we'll be done fast. Amen? Acts chapter 20 tonight, verse number 7. Acts chapter 20, verse number 7. When you're there, say a hearty amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 20, verse number 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Praise the Lord. We're not going till midnight tonight. It's already almost 8 o'clock. But could you imagine? We complain when a preacher goes more than 30, 40 minutes or an hour, and he went until midnight. Verse number 8, there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat a window, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. They were very comforted. I have just a simple sermon I'd like to preach to you tonight. I know I'm not an evangelist, I'm a youth pastor, and I'm not sure how evangelists or people that preach in other places work, but I'm sure they have some sermons that they'll preach multiple times, and some of the sermons I've preached this week I have preached before, but the Lord laid something on my heart. This is brand new to me, and I believe this is for us tonight, so I apologize if maybe I'm a little out of place or if my outline isn't as good as I like it to be, but I really believe this is what the Lord has for us tonight, and I've titled the thought tonight, Don't Be a Eutychus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this church. Thank you so much for the great people here at Loomis Park Baptist Church. Father, I pray I know that we're all here for a reason. Father, I pray that we will find out that reason tonight, Lord, that each person will be attentive. Lord, I pray you'll help me to get out of your way, Lord. Please empty me of myself and cleanse me of my sin. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit present in this building. We know that you're here. But Lord, we want you to have full reign and full control tonight. Lord, help me not to say anything that's not what you want to be said. And I pray your word will do the speaking and convicting and changing tonight. We need you, Lord. Thank you for the great music we've heard. Thank you for the great people that are here. Please speak in a way that only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to talk about this story briefly, but as I'm talking, you can start turning to Luke chapter 8, please. So turn back to Luke chapter 8, and I just want to quickly read to you what we just talked about. Most of you know the story about Eutychus, the sleeping saint. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. Paul preached until midnight. It says that he was sitting in the window, so not really sure why he was sitting in the window or even that close. But it said he fell asleep, and not just a light sleep, but a deep sleep. And I'm not sure if you've ever had that happen before in church or seen someone that's been... I remember at college, I had a friend that was sitting next to me, and he was knocked out. He was sleeping so hard, he was snoring loud. And I elbowed him, and when I elbowed him, he went, huh? Real loud, and everybody turned and looked at us. I also had a friend that sat next to me, or actually, it was my roommate in college, and he was sitting in chapel one time, and he had a glass eye, and so his eye was always open, and he was sitting next to the dean of students, and the dean of students said it sounded like he was snoring. And he was sure that he was snoring, but when he looked, his eye was open. Well, he could only see that eye, and he was sitting there snoring in the chapel, but he was wide awake. And anyway, I hope you're awake tonight. It looks like you're all awake. But Eutychus had fallen asleep from the third floor. And Luke, the one who penned Acts, is a physician, and he notes that he really was dead. And Paul went down and through God's help resurrected him. There's only a few resurrections found in the Bible that the people performed. It was obviously God that did each one, but Elijah and then Elisha and Peter, and then of course the ones through Jesus and Jesus himself. But I think the key from this passage, yes, we may talk about staying awake in church and not falling asleep, and we could park it right there a little bit, but I don't think we have an issue with that tonight. Hopefully not. But I believe that the main thought coming from this passage is that God, and God only, has the power to raise the dead. Luke chapter 8, we'll read verse number 49. Verse number 49 of Luke chapter 8. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat, and her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Jesus proved here that he had the power to raise the dead. He said in verse number 52, She is not dead, but sleepeth. I had a thought that I was praying about preaching, and I'm not sure if I will this week, but the thought is that the sermon is titled Optical Illusions. That sometimes we don't see things the way that God sees them. Jesus saw that she was just sleeping. Now to our eyes, we would say she's dead. She's not breathing. She has no life in her. But Jesus saw not where she was, but where she could be. And Jesus said, she is not just dead. She's just sleeping because I know that I have the power to raise her from the dead. And so we see that God and God only has the power to resurrect the dead. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6, please. Romans chapter 6, moving right along, sword drill style tonight. Romans chapter 6. As soon as we get there, we'll start reading. Verse number 1. Romans 6, verse number 1, What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse number 3, Romans chapter 6, Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. And look at this, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you are saved here tonight, and you're a child of God, and I expect that on a Tuesday night of a church revival, these are most saved Christians, but I don't know your heart, only God knows your heart. But if you're a saved Christian here tonight, I hope you understand this passage, that you are not the man you used to be before you got saved, that you are a different person, and you are no longer a servant, a slave to sin, but you should be dead to that sin. Now, I understand that as a Christian, you still sin, and we still can mess up, but we should be dead to sin and alive to righteousness. My thought tonight, as we turn to just a couple more passages, over to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. The thought tonight is that just as Jesus can raise the dead, God only has the power to raise those that are physically dead. God has the power also to raise those that are spiritually dead. And you might be here tonight, physically you're alive. Or at least you think you're alive. You're here tonight and it looks like you're breathing, you're here, but spiritually you might be dead. Spiritually, there may be no communication, no walk with God, no spiritual life flowing out of you. I am here to tell you that God and God only can raise the dead, not just the physically dead, but the spiritually dead. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse number 1. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, and here's the verse, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. We'll turn to our main text tonight, Psalm 119. Thanks for paying attention so well, turning with us. Psalm 119, and we'll spend the rest of our time in the Psalms. We'll actually start in Psalm 71. We'll work our way to Psalm 119, but turn back to the book of Psalms, Psalm 71. There's a great word that we just read in Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath He quickened. And the thought tonight is to be quickened. Don't be like Eutychus who fell asleep and actually ended up dying from that. Spiritually speaking tonight, let's be alive, and the word is quickened. Quickened to be, it means to be made alive. And it's found often in the Bible, actually 25 times in the Bible. 14 of those times is in the book of Psalm. In Psalm 71, look at verse number 20. Psalm 71, verse number 20. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me, make me alive, revive me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Turn over a couple pages to Psalm chapter 80. Psalm 80. Look at verse number 18. Psalm 80, 18. If you're still with me, say amen. Psalm 80, 18. We're moving along tonight. Verse number 18. So will we not go back from thee. Quicken us, make us alive, revive us, wake us up, and we will call upon thy name. And then turn to Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119, and we'll spend the rest of the time in this great chapter. Found 12 times in this chapter. Look at verse number 25 of Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Psalm 119, verse 37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Verse number 40 of Psalm 119. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Verse number 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Verse number 88. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so I shall keep the testimony of thy mouth. Verse number 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Verse number 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Verse number 149, hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. Verse number 154 of Psalm 119, verse 154, plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Verse 156, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Verse 159, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. And then one last time here look at Psalm 143, Psalm 143, verse number 11. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. There was a survey done over 1,200 18 through 29-year-olds. I just want to throw out a disclaimer. I'm never a big fan of certain surveys because I really think they could survey certain people and we really don't know the results. But I believe this is something that should at least open our eyes. And we know that there are some problems among Christians. This is a survey done among 1,200 18 through 29-year-olds. Among the 65% who called themselves Christian, it says many were either mushy Christians or Christians in name only. Most are just indifferent. The more precisely you try to measure their Christianity, the fewer you find that are actually committed to their faith. 65% rarely or never pray with others. 38% almost never pray by themselves. 65% rarely or never attended worship services, and 67% don't read the Bible. Many are unsure that Jesus is the only path to heaven. Half say yes and half say no. Of that survey, those that said that they are on their way to heaven because they've accepted Jesus as their Savior, 68% of them, when asked what is most important in life, did not mention their faith, religion, or spirituality. 50% of them did not attend church weekly. 36% of them never or rarely read their Bible. And 40% of them actually said it's their responsibility to share the gospel. And I know that's just a statistic, but the truth is that there are many Christians that are in Christianity, that attending good churches just like this one, and perhaps maybe here tonight, that spiritually or physically you're here, but spiritually you're not alive. Or spiritually you're at a place where you're drifting away from God, and you have not had that close walk with Him, and you're not at that place where you could really say, I'm alive spiritually. And we have revivals like this to try to wake us up and get us out of that comfortable level, out of that complacency, out of that apathetic state. But the truth is that it's up to each person to decide for themselves, as David said, quicken me. Lord, wake me up. Lord, revive me. Hey, you know, we can't control each other. You can't do anything about the person next to you or beside you or in front of you, but you can take care of yourself. And as soon as we hear sermons like this, we often think, well, so-and-so needs to hear this, or I hope so-and-so's listening. Let's put that away tonight and say, Lord, what do I need to do? Lord, am I awake? Lord, quicken me. I want you to think about David as he was writing this. David is the man after God's own heart. David is a man who I don't think was dead. David spiritually was very alive. David had a walk with God. David knew how to praise God. David was a great servant of God. But David realized that it was a necessary thing to constantly to keep maintenance on staying alive for God. He constantly said this throughout Scriptures. Quicken me. Keep me alive. Keep me alive. An interesting thought is that dead men don't pray to be quickened. Dead men can't pray. They're dead. So if you're alive, you might say, well, I am spiritually alive. When was the last time you prayed, Lord, quicken me? Lord, revive me. You know, you might say, well, I read my Bible today. Well, that's great, and praise God. That's good, but are you alive? Hey, you're here in church tonight, and that's great, but are you alive? Hey, what have you done for God today? When was the last time you told someone about Christ? How is your obedience to God's Word? Are you alive? Are you awake? Are you moving? Is there fruit in your life? Are you spiritually alive? Or are you dead tonight? Anything that's alive takes maintenance. I want you to think about a fire. You can't just put some wood in a fire and walk away. It eventually will go out. Sometimes it needs to be stirred. I said sometimes it needs to be stirred. It needs an appropriate amount of oxygen. It needs to be kept in a good environment. It needs to be fueled. And hey, if you're a Christian tonight and there's a fire in you, that fire can't go out. You can't lose your salvation. But that fire can get so small that no one can see it. Hide it under a bushel? No, I want to let it shine. How is that light that's in you? Are you keeping some maintenance? Are you doing some work to stay alive spiritually tonight? Or are you drifting away from God? Just like that branch that is detached from the vine will die, we need to stay connected and to abide in Christ to stay alive. God is the one that gives us life, and He's the one that maintains our life. Why do we need to be quickened tonight? Back to Psalm 119. I'd like to pull out some of these verses in Psalm 119. Why do we need to be quickened? Verse number 25 of Psalm 119 says this: My soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. You know why we need to be revived? Because we're flesh. We're not in our full spiritual form yet. Someday we will be, amen? Not yet. And we need to be constantly made alive because we still have to deal with this old man. And we still every single day have to fight our flesh. I've heard it said that the great preacher, man of God, Lester Roloff, used to wake up every morning and take an ice cold shower. I don't know how many of you would want to do that. I sure wouldn't want to. But he wanted to start out each day telling his flesh that his flesh wasn't going to have the rain that day. That his flesh wasn't going to do what it wanted to do. And I think that's a great practice for all of us to do something each morning, every day, to tell ourselves, flesh, you're not going to run things today. It's going to be God. It's going to be the Spirit, not the flesh. Another reason why we need to be quickened is because of the vanity of this world. Verse number 37. Psalm 119:37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. You know, we need to, in essence, pray to God to give us so much spiritual life that the evil influences won't ruin us. That we won't be affected by things of the world. You see a tree that's really alive and really moving, really alive and has great growth in it. It's not affected by storms. It's not affected by the circumstances around it. And as a Christian, you will face some storms. You will face some difficulties. You will face temptations. But if you are quickened, if you are alive, you can survive through all of that. In verse number 107 of Psalm 119, verse number 107, the Bible says, I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. We need to be quickened to be made alive because of our afflictions. We have afflictions. We know that. If you're here tonight, you've suffered afflictions. If you're here for Sunday school, we talked about the valleys. We've been through valleys. There may be some tonight that are afflicted, that are in a valley. You need to not pray that God will hear your afflictions. Pray that God will quicken you. And God will take care of the rest. Quicken me according to thy word. Quicken me according to thy word. So that's why we need to be quickened. But what is our motivation for being quickened? Our motivation for being quickened is that anything that's alive will seek more life. Anything that's alive will seek to continue to stay alive. And if you're a Christian tonight, you need to constantly be stoking that fire, constantly be working at it. We need to, another motive for our need to be quickened is that Christ was full of life. And Christ gave us that example, and He had that abundant life, and we need to have that as well. No, Christians, we have a race to run. The Bible doesn't say walk or crawl or take your time. We have a race to run. It's pretty hard to run when you're dead. Amen. This is deep tonight. Isn't this deep? You need to be alive. In our spiritual life, the more alive we are, the more we can run, the more we can accomplish for God. But don't just expect to sit in the pew on Sunday and go through the motions and put on the smile and do all of those things. But spiritually inside, there's nothing happening. Just like when the Bible says the people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Where are you spiritually tonight? This is a revival, a time where as a church we hope to get on fire for God. The way that happens is that each of us look inside our heart and say, Lord, quicken me. Lord, wake me up. Lord, revive me. How? According to thy word. Because we have a race to run. Look at verse number 88. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. If I want to be obedient to God's word, I need to be awake. I need to be alive. I need to be quickened. I need to be revived so that I can be obedient, so that I can keep the testimony of my mouth. Look at verse number 87, just back a couple verses. Verse number 87, they had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so I shall keep the testimony of thy mouth. We need to be quickened because we have an adversary. We have enemies. Not just physically, but spiritually. But friend, we're living in America in a day and age where it is going to become more physical. You will face opposition. Blessed are they that face persecution. Blessed are they. I'm sure that's not the first thing you think when you get mocked for being a Christian. When people, where are you going on? Where are you going tonight? It's Tuesday. I'm going to church. You're going to church on a Tuesday night? Are you crazy? Yes, I am. What is our response? And we will go through that, but we need to stay alive, because a spiritually alive person, that won't bother them. And that won't affect them. And we need to be made alive so we don't forget thy precepts. You know, there are many churches with no sign of life. The preaching, the music. People need to see an alive Christianity. And I believe I'm preaching to the choir tonight. This is a very alive church, but this is an individual thing. If we want an alive church, it takes alive individuals. And if that's the only thought you get from tonight, I hope you get that. We know our preacher here, he's quickened, he's alive, he's on fire, and our youth pastor, he's alive. And they still need to pray this prayer just like we all do. But don't just base your faith upon them. Well, my pastor's on fire, how about you? Are you on fire? And I know you're here tonight, and that's great, but are you faithful to God's house? What kind of ministry are you involved in? Are you faithful in your tithes and your offerings and your mission giving? What can you do more for God? What kind of witness are you at work and at home and in your neighborhood? How can we be made more alive? How are the ways that, that God's quickening works in us? It's through the Lord Himself. The Bible says, through thy word. It's God that does the quickening. It's not ourselves, it's not our flesh, it's God that does the quickening. And through prayer and through seeking Him, we can find that. Verse 37, we talked about vanity. And I want to read that verse again and draw this point. It says, verse 37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. You want to be made alive to God? There are some things that you'll have to turn away from. And as a Christian, you might think, well, you know, I'm doing so many great things for God, but when was the last time you searched your life and looked for the things that are holding you back? Look for the areas that are drawing you away from God. And friend, I don't know what that is in your life. I only know in my life. But sometimes it's okay to turn the TV off. Sometimes it's all right to sign out of Facebook. I've never done that before. Sometimes it's all right to turn the cell phone off. Sometimes it's all right to put away all those distractions, to turn away from the vanity. You might wonder why you're not on fire for God. You've got too much filth in your life. Or maybe they're not even bad things, but too many distractions. You know, you got to open your Bible and read your Bible while the TV's on. Good luck. Good luck asking God to speak to you. Oh, you might make your quota for the day, but will the Holy Spirit really have the ability to speak to you the way He wants to? I don't think so. So you need to turn away from some things. Turn away from vanity. And God can speak to you. And it's done through His Word. Verse number 50 and verse number 93 does that. It's through God's Word. I don't think we can hear enough preaching about how much each of us need to be saturated in this book. You cannot read the Bible enough. Well, I read my quota for this morning. We'll read a little bit more. You know, there's nothing odd about reading in the morning and reading in the afternoon and reading when you get free time. We need more of God's Word. And just fill yourselves in this book every opportunity you can get, because that's the only way that you can stay alive spiritually. It's through God's Word. He'll speak to you. He'll keep you alive. He'll keep you awake. And it's through following His precepts. God has given us a desire to be quickened, but we need to ask Him to fulfill that desire. You know, I don't think there's a Christian that's here tonight that wants to be dead spiritually. There's no Christian that's here that, you know, I enjoy being far from God. But we need to ask God to help us. David asked God regularly. Look how many times. Quicken me. Lord, revive me. Lord, wake me up. And in conclusion tonight, please turn back to Psalm chapter 1. We're almost done. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse number 3, Psalm chapter 1. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Verse number 3 talks about a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that's bringing forth fruit, and everything that it does prospers. And friend, if you are quickened, if you're alive in God tonight, there will be some growth. Do you have evidence of spiritual growth in your life? How close are you to God compared to where you were last week, last month, last year? There should be some evidences of growth. How about this one? It bringeth forth fruit in His season. When was the last time you brought forth some fruit? What is some fruit that you've been able to see God produce through your life? We know it's all God, but if God is able to give free rein in our life, there should be some fruit. There should be some evidences of that. And then there should be some stability. His leaf also shall not wither. This is a tree that is planted, that is firm. So many Christians are up and down and up and down. If you're alive and if you've got deep roots and you're in a place when you're getting nourished spiritually, you're not going to be affected by those things. And you will have some consistency, some stability in your life. It's a simple thought tonight. Don't be a Eutychus that is dead spiritually. But friend, if you are, we serve a God that can quicken you, that can raise you from the dead. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have a simple invitation tonight. I'm going to pray, and as soon as I'm done praying, if the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight, I pray that you will get right with God. Lord, I pray you will speak. Father, I'm sorry for how often I failed you, even tonight, Lord. But God, I know that your word does not return void. Father, I believe that you want to speak even right now. And you're speaking to hearts, Lord. Our hearts are burning inside us. Lord, quicken us. Wake us up. Revive us individually. Lord, I pray that each person will get right with you tonight. Each person will get